We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the first Sunday of Advent. The announcements for the week. Right to Life Lifespan will have Christmas cards available in the narthex after Mass. Advent wreaths and candles are available for purchase in the parish office. This Friday is First Friday. We will have day-long adoration and a holy hour at 7 p.m. Come spend some time with the Lord. Join us tonight in the church for evening prayer at 7 p.m. See page 3 in the bulletin for the events this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now turn to God, examine our conscience, and turn to Him for His mercy. Let us pray. Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love, and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior. And give us the strength to grow in love, that the dawn of his coming may find us rejoicing in his presence and welcoming the light of his truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Does anybody here think their lives are too busy? How many people here think their lives are filled with too much worry and anxiety? Do you have anything to be anxious about? How's the price of your house doing? How secure is your employment? How is your search going? How about health care, pensions, your own health? relationships, parents worrying about their kids. I won't ask for a show of hands. They might be next to you. How about adult children being worried for aging parents? We haven't even gotten out of the local area. Who here is distracted? Who here would like to get fewer emails? Or are you saturated with the sounds of TV and radio and music going or gaming? Are you harangued by commercials, obsessed with texting? Busy, anxious, and distracted. How we doing? Anybody got one of those? Two? The trifecta? How do you feel about that? If you're ready for something different, if in fact, in the words of this season, you are longing for something different, this is a good day for you, because this is the first day of the season of Advent, because Advent is an antidote, a remedy for the busyness, the anxiety, and the distraction of modern life. I think Advent is the season of the church year that's most misunderstood. Ordinary time is sort of like ordinary. Lent is, well, Lent's, you know, repent and ashes, and Easter is the risen Jesus, and Christmas is the Word made flesh. And Advent is preparing for Christmas, right? Wrong. I think most people think the primary purpose of the season of Advent is to prepare for Christmas, sort of like Lent prepares for Easter. Lent does prepare for Easter, but it isn't. Now, granted, in the fourth week, maybe about, what, the 17th, 18th day of Advent, no, 17th day of December, I think, that it switches a little bit, and we actually begin focusing that late on the coming of the Christmas events. But it's not the main focus of the season. And you can tell that I'm just not making this up by listening to the prayers of the Mass, listening to the readings that we're presented with. They're focused on the end. They're focused on preparing us for what is to come, not Christmas, but life eternal and the great judgment. Advent is a season to refocus our true purpose in life, to be specific and clear about our spiritual goals. It's like a good coach who says on the first day of practice, okay, these are our goals. We're going to have a winning season. We're going to make a bowl. We're going to beat Ohio State. Oops. I hope you're better on your goals. But just like a good coach that focuses attention, gets us all working towards the same thing, that's what the church does. That's what the Lord does through the church in this season. Are we all pulling in the same direction? Are we all after the same thing? Are we clear in our heads about what we're doing here? Jesus has already come once to save us. We now prepare for the day when he will return to judge the living and the dead. In the words of the readings that we'll hear this week and next week, it's a time to get ready, to stay awake, to prepare. It's a season marked by hope. Hope is longing for something good in the future. And you have no idea how good it is. By attitudes of expectation and anticipation, if you knew you were going to get a check in the mail and you weren't quite sure whether it was for $500,000 or $1 million, they weren't quite clear about that, would you be looking forward to the mail coming? Would you be anticipating expectantly? Well, there's a lot better stuff than the mail that's coming. As it was in the days of Noah, our gospel reading says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? What's he building in his backyard? Who's he think he is? What voices is he listening to? And all around them, folks were, what, I'd say busy, anxious, and distracted. The stuff of life, ancient and modern. Jesus is saying, as it was back with Noah, so it's going to be when I come again. So what does Jesus say we're supposed to do? Stay awake. Doesn't mean never sleep. Be attentive. Be focused. Don't give up. Don't get drowsy. What did Jesus say to Martha when she was so busy running around that she was complaining to Jesus? I think this is a good antidote for busyness. Martha was complaining to Jesus. Can't you see how darn hard I'm working here, how much I got to do? You know how much effort comes to having you over for dinner? Tell her to help me. Mary's chosen the better part. Martha, you're doing a good job, but you're anxious. What are you anxious about? Well, do you know what God says to you about that? Or are we too anxious to listen? Trust me on that one. I know what you're talking about. It's going to work out. It may be a while. I'm training you for something through this. How can we receive the training the Lord wants to give us through some of the difficulties we've got if we don't know that's His intention? So there has to be some listening. A number of years ago, right in the first week of Lent, I got these horrible cramps. 4 o'clock mass was fine, but the night was miserable. I could have just kept on having the cramps. I would have just kept on having the cramps. I would have died. What did I do? What would you have done in that situation? I went to the emergency room, saw a doctor. They knew what to do. Sometimes, like when we're anxious and we're not turning to God, it's like dying and not going to the doctor. Just hoping the cramps will go away. We need to. That's why we pray. We need to go to the source. Get His help. Is technology good or bad? Huh? Is your life better now with it all? It's got some advantages I would be reluctant to relinquish, but by goodness, all the noise. All the distraction everywhere, all the information. We need silence. need a place we can go away. We need to get away from all the noise so that we can hear what is often the soft voice of God that the scripture says whispers to us. But if there's all that noise, who's going to hear it? Even though God is right there by our side. Psst, I'm talking to you. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Find that place. Some of us are afraid of going there because of what we're going to hear, but that's not anything from God. That's your enemy putting false thoughts in your head. I'm serious when I say we should pray every day. Some of you just look at me funny when I talk about that. Oh, come on, it's not the way I view myself. I really couldn't do that. Well, that's a big fat lie. There's not a person here who can't have a relationship with God, who can't talk to God and hear him talk back. If you don't do this, you know what you're like? If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a good mother, if you want to be a good father, if you want to love those around you, and you don't pray, you know what you're like? What's your favorite beverage? Now imagine having a glass of this favorite beverage before you and trying to consume it with a fork. How's that gonna work? Is it gonna take a long time? Is there a better way to do it? We need to pray in order to get from God what we need to do the things that we need to do and be the person that he's made us to be. Or it'd be like trying to eat a hamburger with a straw. Who would do that? But we all can pray. There's not one person here who's an exception to what I'm saying, or for whom God doesn't expect you to do this. It's the antidote to the busyness and the anxiety and the distraction. I promise you, you'll even be good at it. Every day we can say with today's psalm, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our first reading says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Busy, anxious, and distraction is darkness. Slowing down, giving our attention to God is like turning on the light in the basement so we can see where stuff is. Our reading says, throw off the darkness, awake from sleep. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first began. So for this Advent, this is my technical advice. Do something to mark the season, to bring the silence. When the orange barrels come out, what season is it? Yeah. What do orange barrels mean? Slow down. We're building something here. Advent's orange barrel season. It's God's orange barrel to your spiritual life to say, slow down. God wants to do something in you, get you ready for what is to come. There's an alternative to being busy, anxious, and distracted, and you can do it, and the season is a time for it. Stay awake, be prepared, and don't miss what God wants to do in you.